Welcome to the Developer Tribe. It's good to have you here for episode 8 of season 2 as we unpack the practice and process of developers, educators and beyond. Today we talk to an ex-colleague of mine and football coach in the US, now plying his trade in Spain, and the challenges and successes of working in a different culture. As always, thanks for being here, however you got here. And with that, let's jump in. My guest today is the head coach for the under-23s at Alicante City and their academy director. This follows coaching in Madrid on school sports programs in the UK, roles for Crystal Palace and Cardiff City Academy, and the women's head coach at Brunel University. It was in America that I met today's guest, working for UK Elite, now Steel Sports, back in 2014. It's with great pleasure that I introduce a man that rivals Zinedine Zidane for most pleasing alliteration for a name, Phil Philippou, to the pod.
Yeah, thanks, mate. commentator's nightmare, that.
Yeah. Have you been likened to Zinedine before?
No, never. I wish.
not even as a player?
No, especially not as a player.
you're over in Spain at the moment. You know, what's football and coaching looking like for you at the moment?
Yeah, it's good. I mean, I'm very fortunate that I get to train every day, coach every day with the boys, and you know, treat it like a professional atmosphere. Obviously, at the moment with COVID, it's changing it and adding more challenges to us. But you know, as a fellow coach, you know, it keeps throwing challenges at us, and just got to knock it away and find solutions.
Pivot and adjust, absolutely. Well, as the listeners will have heard there, you've got a varied history leading up to where you are now. How was it you reached this part of your career?
A lot of hard work and a bit of luck, I guess, with most stories. I was fortunate enough to start coaching at 16 with Crystal Palace's community project. The coach there, Clary Birch, coached me before and asked him if he could give me a bit of work. I just had got my level one through the club I was playing for. The rest has gone from there, really.
Sounds a little bit like you make your own luck that way, though. You know, you obviously made use of the network you had at the time. What was it like coaching at Palace?
Yeah, incredible. I'm a big Palace fan as well. Again, unfortunately, somebody's got to be. Was going since the age of 3, my local club. My parents still season ticket holders there as well. So, you know, even just in a coaching role with me initially in the community to where the Palace shirt and, you know, meant a lot to me, you know. And then from there progressed, you know, through a bit of experience through the community, and then getting some opportunities in the academy. And through the academy, I had quite a few roles, initially with the under sevens, under eights, the pre-academy, as they called it. And then also coaching the higher age groups, helping out, doing video analysis, also, you know, all the way up to under 23s at the time.
So a varied experience, even within the one club. How did it come about that you ended up leaving there then? Obviously football runs in the blood and you support that club. Why make the decision to leave?
It probably won't surprise you since I'm in Spain now. I remember I kind of had that eureka moment. I was standing on the field and sideways rain hitting me and soggy socks. and it was actually there. I kind of had that moment of realization that, you know, I want to try something a bit different. And that's when I did go to the USA and, you know, met yourself and some, you know, I think part of my coaching journey, I think that's probably where I've learned the most.
That travel and going somewhere new, did that provide a big challenge for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you've got to adapt some different cultures, you know, more so here where, you know, the living culture but also the footballing culture, the values that they have here in Spain, as in the football sense, very different to what I'd be used to in the UK and the US, where, you know, UK, US is very much work hard, run a lot. Whereas here in Spain, it's work smart. You know, how useful are you with the ball? How quickly can you do a 1-2 touch? Running around like a headless chicken doesn't impress them here, you know. So for me, that was the biggest cultural difference. And, you know, we say to the players now, you know, you can moan about the referees giving decisions that you wouldn't get back home, and challenges you can make back home you can't do here. But at the end of the day, Spain's not going to change for us. We've got to adapt to Spain.
Sure. So how did your principles, growing principles as a coach of the game and of coaching practice, change through being in such a different culture as you describe?
Yeah, I mean, it completely challenges your beliefs and everything that you've learned from, you know, my footballing career and when I was playing and into coaching. And you've got to take it on board. I mean, you know, obviously Spain, you can't, it's not to be sniffed at. In the last 10 years or so, they've won World Cups, they've won European Championships. Barcelona, arguably one of the greatest teams in our generation. So, you know, it's not a place where you can go really arrogant and stubborn about it. I think you've got to open your eyes and take that in, but also keep the values that we do have. You know, like I said, that work hard, that never say die attitude that we have in the UK as footballers. I think that's a great a tribute to have. So if we can kind of mix those two cultures together, you can get a real good hybrid of player.
I can imagine that would be quite challenging to do. I've had the good fortune of working with some foreign players myself, foreign to me at least, and foreign to the league or football situation that I've been working in. Obviously, then in those situations, those foreign players are adapting to the culture that I'm positioned in. You've got the opposite, where you're positioned in their culture. So can you describe for us maybe some of the challenges that you might have had in developing that kind of attribute in a player where that's just not natural for them?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about buying, really. Obviously, the biggest challenge for me was the language barrier initially. Most of the boys that I coach, their first language is English. However, we do have a lot of players who I've got to translate for into Spanish. And, you know, I've been in Spain for 4 years now. And, you know, when I first came over here, away from hola, and that was pretty much my vocabulary at the time, you know. So, you know, that was the biggest challenge, and not only the language, but also getting your point across and as an emotion as well. When you're speaking a different language, when you're consciously thinking about what you need to say next, it's hard to get the right tone sometimes and the right emotion. So that was my biggest challenge. And even though it's something I've improved now, it still does provide a challenge every now and then. And it's something I just got to keep working on.
Yeah, you mentioned around sort of the emotion of what you're trying to convey. Is that something that's important to you in the coaching process? In, you know, some coaches, they try to kind of hide emotions. They try to sort of be very, very stoic. Are you the opposite to that, or what does that look like?
I wouldn't say I'm the opposite, no. I do like to keep my emotions close to my chest, if you will. I wouldn't say I'm the most emotional person, but there's times, for example, if you want somebody to relax, saying it in an aggressive manner isn't going to make them relax. It's quite the opposite. You know, a bit of a pet peeve of mine when a coach is shouting and screaming, relax, relax, relax. if you can't relax, then how are they supposed to react? And also on the other point of that, if you want them to be maybe playing quicker, Again, this is maybe where the language comes in, and you want to tell them to go to relax, to go quicker, but you're not saying it in a quick manner, and you're not quite sure if it's the correct word, then it might not, again, give the right message away.
Yeah, I made the same point about relax when with my podcast with Dr. Sarah Erdner, and but I can only imagine that language barrier being that the timing of your intervention is changed straight away. I had the good fortune to work with some Chinese players in Wales for a week. And it was extremely difficult because they didn't speak much, if at all, any English. So it was really through just their knowledge of what football might look like that they started to understand what I was after from them in training. I can only imagine what challenge that must be. But yeah, you've been there for 4 years now, so your Spanish must be pretty good, certainly by anyone else's standards anyway.
It's better than it was, I would say. I think you really appreciate those coaching points as well, because by the time you stop, it's just that split second slower. And as you know, football changes in milliseconds, and those little seconds just to shout freeze in Spanish just changes the picture, and you've got to rewind it just a bit more. And obviously, when you're trying to keep your coaching points short and sweet, sometimes that can delay a bit more as well.
So would it be fair to say, I might be putting you on the spot a little bit here, but would it be fair to say that you've ended up having to trust your players more to execute, that as a result of that, you might have had to have fallen slightly in line with what their values and their principles are?
Yeah, absolutely. You do, because you don't want to change them as people. And, sometimes their value, Spanish players do tend to like to take the time a bit more on the ball, be relaxed on the ball. If I'm telling the centre-back, no, you've got to play quicker, you've got to go long ball, it might be taking a massive part of his game out. You do need to, rather than changing them, I think it's trying to add attributes to them as opposed to changing their attributes.
Yeah, I can understand that. And certainly that makes sense with regards to your work with the under 23s. I know from previous conversations with you that your long-term player development is very important to you. And with your other role in the club that you're at now, you're working with as the academy director. Can you tell us a little bit of how you manage those two roles?
Yeah, it's actually become more aligned this season. Previously we had, so a bit of history of the organisation. Soccer Smart, 3.5 years ago, started an academy in Spain to give players from around the world an opportunity to train every day. And then if they have the level, then we try and find them trials. If not, we continue the development or look for other options around the world. And then a year or two later, we thought, well, why don't we start a club and then give them a direct link into the Spanish leagues. So originally we had both, the club was more part-time. So we'd have the academy who would be training, only playing friendly matches, and then also Alicante City, who were playing obviously in the leagues. But now we've kind of aligned that all and they're joined together. So instead of just having an academy, we have 90% of the players there that are in the club. And then 4 or 5 players who are part of the academy. So it's a lot easier now to bring those together. Sorry, I know that was a very long, boring answer, that one.
No, not at all. What's the makeup of the academy players? Are they largely Spanish from the local area?
No, the majority of our players are from around the world. Most of them will be UK and USA. It's pretty much a 50-50 split at the moment between UK, USA, and then we've got a few locals as well. Yeah, the problem we have at the moment, the Brits can't travel, so
Right.
we're quite a few players down at the moment. But yeah, mostly American, British, and
So how
then
young does that go?
so part of the FIFA rules is that they need to be 18 or older if they're from abroad. So we can't, well, we have one player who's an English guy who's 17, but he lives over here. His family live over here, which makes things easier. But yeah, our average age is probably 21, 22. We've got a few players above that age as well, above 23. But yeah, it's a young group.
So if you're working with the under 23s, are there other club not other clubs, other teams within the club? What other age groups do you have?
So since we've only been going for 2, 3 seasons now, we've got three teams. The first team, the under 23s and the under 19s. So the under 23s are pretty much a B team. So just like now Barcelona, Real Madrid will have B teams, they still play in the men's league system. So Alicante City's first team are in the sixth tier, whilst we're in the seventh tier.
Oh, fair enough. So, is there an aspect of your role where you're then supporting the coach of the under 19s below you?
Not so much now. Last season, yes, as director of football last season, but you missed the field, so got into more coaching role. I have regular contact with them, and I go and watch their training sessions. The good thing as well, we can bring players up from the 19s to the 23s, and likewise, under 23s can go up to the first team as well. So it's good to have that link between the teams. And last game we needed quite a few players for whatever reason, suspensions, injuries. One 19 came up and played slightly out of position and was superb. And that's what you do this for. It's something that I'm sure he'll remember for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. So your position is, forgive me, I'm trying to figure this out a little bit. Your position as director of football, then, presumably you're a little bit of the focal point as to what football looks like for Alicante. With that in mind, you are presumably to some form the developer of the coaches. I know it's not many, but the coaches within that club.
So last season, yeah. So I'm no longer a director of football. We've got someone who's come in full time to do that. So I can put all my attention in the 23s. But I think that was one of the biggest challenges that I've had over here, was going as director of football. My philosophy was so clear. I thought I'll go in and everyone's going to buy into it. But especially, I think in general, that wouldn't work. And especially going into another country and they're saying, this is my philosophy, that's what we're going to work on. If I had that moment again, I would have asked for their opinion as well. And what do you want the club to look like? What are your values? I think we would have got a lot more buy-in, and I think it was a bit ignorant of me to go in and think that everybody was just going to buy into my vision.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about, some of the disjunctures you would have had with some of these coaches whilst you were trying to implement that philosophy, as you put it.
Yeah. I mean, coaches, board members, and everything. It's not to say my way is right and their way is wrong. Absolutely not. It's to say that we've got very different visions. We've also got an ex-Liga player in there, and he's got a particular vision as well. And I put straight away hard work. Is one of the big three that we wanted. Again, like I said, that's not the first thing they think about over here. I'm generalizing.
Yeah, of
However,
course.
I think it's more, they're very family orientated in general. They want that family atmosphere. They want people they know as well. And yeah, like I said, it was quite naive of me to go in, and but that's what that's what it's all about, you know, making those mistakes and learning from it. I'm sure next time in that situation, I'll do it a bit differently.
Well, that was going to be my question. Given the chance to do it again, you know, if you were to go to a different club and to be given that same kind of role, what would that process look like? How would it be different this time?
I'd get everyone in a group. We kind of did it with the players this season, at the beginning of this season. We got into a group, groups of threes and fours, and, you know, what are our values? And then with that, we saw, have any values overlapped? And then, you know, they become our squad values. And it's just so much easier to get buy-in. Sure. Yeah, everyone feels part of it, you know, when you... You know, especially you with the tribe, development tribe, having that actual tribe, the tribe mentality is that everyone gets by and they feel like they have a purpose to fulfill in the club.
No, I hear that. So obviously now you're coaching more now with the under 23s. What is the biggest challenge that's coming up for you this season?
To be honest, COVID. Sure. Beginning of the season, we couldn't get the Americans over, so we were immediately eight, nine players short. We could only get one preseason friendly because of it. And then now we've gone the other way. The Americans are allowed in, but the the Brits aren't. So yeah, just but again, you just roll with the punches. You know, we've kind of learned to expect the unexpected now with everything that's going on. And yeah, also all the different cultures that we have, you know, we've got a few Algerian players as well in there, a few Spanish. Everyone's got a different vision of football, and it's just trying to unite everyone in going into the same direction.
Yeah, what would it look like? Like say I was good enough, I'm not, but say I was to come play for you. I was traveling from, you know, a European country or America. And I arrive in Spain. What does it look like for me to arrive in the country, turn up at this club, and hopefully ply my trade as a footballer?
Yeah, so we're lucky enough to have a house where all the players live together. Well, the foreign players all live together. And then the pitches across the road, literally less than 2 minute walk away. So we're fortunate to get that. I think straight away it kind of gets you into that mindset. You look to your left, you see the field. You look to your right, you see the villa where you're going to be staying and your teammates. Some of them study, do an MBA with us as well. So they can add that to the arsenal. The biggest thing is adapting. You know, we talk a lot about adapting to the boys and being comfortable with being uncomfortable, because you are coming into a country where the football's different. It really is. Like I said before, the tackles that you can make in the UK and the US are fouls here. Here is a lot more about how well do you possess the ball? How well do you manipulate the ball? There's not as many transitions because they do keep the ball a lot better. And it's something we have to adapt to.
But that creates a lot of frustration for your players, yeah. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. The first 2-3 games, we had a couple of sending offs. No,
there you go.
No straight red cards. All double, all two yellows, and just little things. And you know they're smart with it as well. The Spanish players, they know if he's on a booking, they're going to roll around and they're going to scream and. Again, Spain's not going to change for us. We've got to adapt, and it did take a month or two for the players to really understand that.
So, you mentioned a couple of players that maybe are taking an MBA with you and stuff like that. What are the outcomes? What are the intended outcomes of these players being in with you at the club?
We want to create longevity. For me, the goal, the why we do it is to create something for them that they're going to look back to in the future and think, I really, really enjoyed that. That's a big part of my life. You know, maybe you feel the same about when you went to the States. I know I did. And you know, at the end of the season, we'll see. We're already looking to move players on. You know, it's not just a club where like, you're staying with us until you have your testimonial. It's right, where can we move you on to now? Let's try and develop you. Let's try and make you better than you were when you got here. And we're already looking to send players to Australia, to Gibraltar, USA, colleges over there. Even to, well, we've got one player now who works for us, and he played for Alicante City the last two seasons. We've now moved him to a club above Alicante City, so he's playing in the fifth tier now, and also working for us. So yeah, just creating opportunities with them, getting them to stay in the game.
Yeah, and I mean, when I spoke to you in the US, although we only met a couple of times there, I certainly got this impression that football was that vehicle for you. Yes, coaching's important. Yes, the performance of football is important, but that there was a way of using football and football coaching to achieve something bigger, something possibly more important.
Yeah, I agree. And well, I was actually speaking to Rob Bailey last week, who you had on the show before, and just reconnecting that why we do it. And that was a big thing for me. You know, I very much knew what I was doing, how I was doing it, but at one point I'd forgotten the why. And it's so powerful, like you said, using that as a vehicle to meet new people, to push yourself to change people's lives. I think that's why most people coach in the first place.
I'm sure Rob will listen to this. So, putting you on the spot, what is that why exactly now?
I want to change people's lives. You know, using football, using something that's been part of me since 3 years old. You know, I say, I always tell the players if they can come out of this as a better person, I feel like I've done the primary part of my job. If I can add something to them.
In this new year, then what's going to bring you even closer to achieving that why?
If we can give opportunities to players to further their career at the end of the season, for me, that'd be great. If we can see them that playing at a higher level, if they're still in the game in some sense, whether that's coaching or playing.
Brilliant. Fantastic. And I'm sure that there'll be opportunities with perhaps some of the people that are listening. They might want to reach out to you, and there might be ways in which you can network a little bit further. We both know with football, it's a small world. So, hopefully there's something that will come from this.
Yeah.
Phil, thank you so much for today. If anyone did want to reach out, as I said, what would be the best way for them to do it?
Yeah, so Twitter probably would be the best one at Coach Phil P. I've also got a website as well, coachphilp.org, which they can get in touch, and I speak about more of the psychological side of the game.
Fantastic. I will make sure that those links are available. I do have one final question for you, which is if you could have an audience with just one person, who would that be?
John Wooden, probably the basketball coach. I feel that when I read his book, it was the first time I thought he doesn't just want to make them better sports people, he wants to make them better people. And I thought that was really in line with what I would like to do.
Yeah, give us a sense of one of his principles, something that resonated with you.
Yeah, it's actually a poem that he took from Rudyard Kipling. But yeah, exactly the kind of person he was and what I aspired to be. He said, "No written word nor spoken plea can teach youth what they should be, nor all the books nor the shelves. It's what the teachers are themselves."
Really taps into so many of the conversations that I've had with coaches, educators on this pod and elsewhere, that your self-awareness, what you know of yourself, is so important. And I think, the listeners will have heard through the time that we've spoken here that you've spent a good deal of time reflecting on your own practice and process. Phil, thanks again. Really appreciate your time and welcome to the tribe.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Brilliant conversation with Phil. For me, some interesting points for reflection on coaching philosophy and its fit when working in a different culture. Do let us know what your takeaways are. My thanks to Phil for offering up his insights today. The music you are listening to is by BB Phoenix. You can find her details in the links. If you haven't already, please do subscribe and leave feedback so that we can keep growing the tribe. Thanks for being here, and we look forward to having you back next week.